Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'll begin at verse 1 for context's sake. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles you do except God be with him. Now this ruler, Nicodemus, realized that only someone anointed of God can do these miracles. And he recognized Jesus as a teacher. So he has a question for him. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Of course, it says here, verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, which is born of spirit is spirit. So when you're born into this earth, your mother is carrying you, and there is water, and you're in the sack within the water, and the water would break, and it's time for the birth of the child. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he says, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. This shouldn't be a big mystery, is what he's saying. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So he gives an illustration about the wind. You can hear the wind, you can see what it's doing, but you don't see the wind. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see what he does. So he's saying here, you be born of the Spirit. There is a work that he will do. You will see the effect of that. So Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, you're a master of Israel or a teacher, and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say to thee, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen, but you receive not our witness. Now, this is an important principle. You speak that which you know. Don't try and talk about things you don't know. But you speak of that which you do know. Jesus spoke the truth that was revealed to him, and that which he had seen, and they were testifying of these things. But you know, you can speak the truth that you know, and you can speak of that which you see the Holy Spirit do, but some people won't receive it. Their heart's hard. They have unbelief. He says, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, all religions have someone trying to get to God, trying to work their way to heaven, work their way into favor with God. But Christianity is different, the only one like this, where God came to earth as a man to be the offering and sacrifice for our sins, who would conquer death and the grave and be raised up and seated at the right hand of God. All other religions have man trying to get to God. Christianity, we see the love of God and that he came for us. He became man, he became flesh, he was the sacrifice. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now he's beginning to speak about himself, that he will need to be crucified. And he makes a reference back to when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and I'm going to go back there right now to Numbers chapter 21. And I've selected a picture. And put that up. There it is. Yeah. God deals with us in pictures. And there are a lot of pictures in the Bible of things that would be spiritual things. And this particular one is a picture relative to Christ on a cross. And then the picture of it in the wilderness, which we in Numbers 24 lays it out here. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So God brought his people out from Egypt, all these miracles, signs, and wonders. But now they're traversing around the wilderness, and there was no food or water, but God provided supernaturally. And the people began to get discouraged, which led them into a sin. Verse 5, they spoke against God and against Moses. This was their rebellion, slander. They were talking against God and against Moses because things were not the way they thought they should be. We don't ever want to enter into complaining against God and speaking against God or his servants because something's not working the way we think it should. So they said, "Oh, you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread or any water. And our soul loathes this light bread." Now, what was happening? God provided for them manna from heaven or a bread from heaven. And they got tired of a miracle. They didn't even have to work for it. Every morning when they got up, there it was on the ground. They gather up a day's worth. They had enough every day. And they got tired of a miracle. Now, this is rather amazing when you think about it. But when you're governed by the lust of the flesh and you're self-centered, God can do miracles and it's not good enough. You know, they were remembering back, and it says in some other places, they were remembering back, oh, back when we were in Egypt, we had onions and garlic and melons and fish and this and that and the other. And they were remembering what they had rather than looking at where God wanted to take them. And he was providing by miracles on the way. How sad it is that you would be dissatisfied with a miracle every day. But you see, if the heart's not thankful, there can be tremendous things being done, and it's not good enough. So we don't ever want to be like that. This brought judgment upon them on their sin. And verse 6 says, "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and many people died." So it was venomous snakes. Verse 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against you.'" Again, this is a serious thing, complaining against God or against his leaders. He says, "We've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he would take away the serpents from us." Now, here, the people did the right thing after they did the wrong thing. There's times you're going to do the wrong thing, but what makes the difference is if you'll do the right thing after you do the wrong thing. And the right thing to do after you know you've done the wrong thing is to repent. And they said, "We've sinned. Moses, pray for us. We've sinned." They humbled themselves. So the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." So Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and set, and it came to pass that if the serpent, a serpent, had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So we have this picture here. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. And that is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. The people, because of their rebellion and their sin, were bitten by the snakes. I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. There's one way I like a snake, and that's dead. And there's always someone in the crowd that likes snakes and likes to play around with them. God bless you. I'll call you if one shows up around my house. But I don't like snakes. They're sneaky, sneak on around, and they actually can hurt you. And a venomous one could even kill you. And the Bible compares Satan to being like a snake. Snakes, you know, it's kind of slithering through the leaves or through the grass or through the brush or what have you. And he has a deadly bite to it. And Satan, very subtle, he's kind of slithering around, you don't really know he's there. But if you are bitten by him, it's a deadly bite. And we've all been bitten by the snake. Because this, God says, put this, make a snake out of brass, put it on a pole. Whoever looks on it shall be healed. So what we're seeing here is the snake upon that pole, or that which would bring death upon the cross, Jesus Christ. And this is a picture of the cross here that's given in the Bible. And if we'll look on Christ, having been bit by the snake, Satan, and having had his venom put in us, which brought death in our spirit, if we'll look on the one on the cross, we can be healed, we can be delivered, forgiven, completely saved. Say this with me. I've been bitten by the snake. We've all been bitten by the snake. Sin had come, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all been bitten. But God had a plan and he had a solution for this snake bite. Now, if you are a camper, you may have a, you know, a snake bite thing to suction out the venom, or maybe some antidote or something like that. I don't know. Do people camp anymore? Camp out? Maybe camp out. You have to be mindful of the snake in the grass, right? The snake in the weeds. And, you know, you would consider what you would do in the event of that. But as with the children of Israel, they were dying from that snake bite. And it was God's judgment on their sin. Jesus said, I have to be lifted up like Moses lifted up that snake in the wilderness. So we'll go back to John chapter 3. And, you know, people read John chapter 3, even here, John chapter 3, you immediately think of verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But that said, following verse 14 here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect offering, called the Lamb of God, who is pure and without sin, took our sin upon himself on the cross. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he became sin. He was bitten by the snake for your sin. He had no sin, but for our sin, our judgment was put upon him on that cross. So he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, because he took our snake bite for us. He was made to be sin. That was Satan, the snake's venom. Sin bringing death. He took it upon himself. And in that, we see God's love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We read on the rest of it. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Jesus came the first time, and as, you know, Christmas, we're acknowledging the incarnation, the babe was born and all that. This follows right up with that he sent his Son to save the world. His Son is coming back a second time to bring judgment on Satan and all of the evil and all that he's done, and to bring a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to come back and bring that judgment. But his first time coming, he brought salvation. And in that, we see and know and understand love, because the perfect one took our sin upon himself. He that believes is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already. The price was paid. Jesus was lifted up, the Son of God. And everyone who hears of him has a choice then. Will I believe on him, or am I going to hold on to Satan's nature of sin, that old snake who bit us and killed our spirit? It's a choice we have to make. But if we choose life, we choose Jesus, then we will not encounter judgment at the end. This is the condemnation. Light came in the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, we bring judgment This is what it's saying. When we see the light that came, Jesus Christ, but we choose rather to serve our sin than him, or darkness than light. Sometimes you wonder, well, why would a certain person not accept the Lord? When you hear what all he's done, why wouldn't you? Well, here's the answer. It's because people love their sin more than God. And it's so silly if you think about it. You know, the sin's just pleasure for a moment, but then all this grief. But to accept Christ and give our life to him, we have eternal life. We have the fruit of his spirit. We have life on this earth. It's a pretty easy choice to make if we can see it. But when we're deceived and our eyes are blinded, we might choose the path of darkness. Everyone that does evil hates the light. You know, the insect, the roach, was probably created to give us a picture of this. Roaches hate the light. Hopefully, some of you have never seen a roach before. But I know going to India already, go in a bathroom in a more area that's not too nice yet. You flick on the bathroom light, and like 100 roaches, they hate the light. So they're fleeing. that gives you a little jolt right out of sleep. You know, you flick on the light and there's like 100 roaches and you think, where else are they? In the bed of what? But just like roaches would flee the light. You know, and they're a dirty insect and I suppose they can create some problems if they bite you. I don't know what all roaches do. No one knows. And then I can just make something up and it won't matter. Nobody likes, you know, unwanted insects in the home. And sometimes people need to have their house sprayed or something like that. And that doesn't mean there's a problem with you and your housekeeping. They can just move in. But roaches will flee the light. But he that does truth comes to the light. That's being like the moth. If you have a light on outside, all the moths will come in because they're drawn to the light. The roaches will flee the light. When you have a heart to please God, when you know that his truth has set you free and he is truth, you know his love for you has brought deliverance. When we understand that, we're drawing near to that. We want to get as close to that as you can. You know, we're entering into a winter season, and I like our gas fireplace out there. And if you come in, you're like really cold, and you come in, you have a fireplace, you can warm yourself. You draw near to the fire for heat. And when you love the truth, it's like that. It's like coming in out of the cold. God, I want to get close to that fire, close to that heat. Or coming out of the dark, coming into the light. I like bright lit rooms. We can turn on those lights, I guess. I know there's a tendency for a female gender to like dim lit rooms. It's romantic and all that. I tend to think it's because then you can't see the dust on the floor. But no, I'm just picking. I'm just teasing. I like bright lit rooms because I like to read. I like to see. Without light, you can't see very well. Well, Jesus also called himself the light of the world, and it's only through him that we can really see clearly that which we're looking at in this world. And his redemptive work, through his death, his resurrection, light, life, love, it's all available to us. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take communion together and remember these things. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Randy, if you want to come, Randy's going to do a song in a few minutes. It says when he had, verse 24, it says when he had taken, verse 23, when I received of the Lord that which I've delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. So as we take communion, which fifth Sunday, which is every quarter, we have a meal together, communion together. We're quite simply wanting to remember our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember what he did with his body and his blood, which his blood paid the price for your forgiveness and for your cleansing from sin. And his body being broken, our sin was put upon him. But he was raised up in resurrection life, made whole. And we identify with him in his death. Because of that, we can identify in his resurrection, where we can boldly say, I am forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I've been made righteous, not by my works, but by the blood of the Lamb. And I've been raised up with him. And I'm one with God, raised up in resurrection, life, and power. You see, that's our confession. That is our faith.